Teresa Stanley from Drowning Prevention Auckland's research and development team joins us now on Pacific Days to share her findings about drowning risk amongst Pasifika and Māori adults as part of the Drowning Prevention Auckland Midwinter Forum, which was held yesterday in Auckland. Good afternoon and thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Teresa.
Good afternoon, Talofa Lava, Brian, and to your listeners. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you again, Teresa. Well, let's begin with a background on your work under the research and development team at Drowning Prevention Auckland, please, Teresa.
Well, at Drowning Prevention Auckland, or DPA, I am the research and development team, but research is one of the key pillars in our organisation. So the research and evidence-based delivery is entwined with all of our work. We complete really thorough evaluations each year on our programs to continually improve our delivery. We've completed research with parents of young toddlers to get their views on the protective nature of swimming lessons. And this has enabled us to develop really appropriate messaging for parents. We've also developed and researched guidelines around bystander rescue. And, this has enabled us to really focus our education that we do.
Now, can you share with us, please, your findings from your latest study around drowning risk amongst Pasifika and Māori adults?
Sure. The latest study that we did, we asked adults how good they thought they could swim and how safe they felt in open water. We then tested them in a pool, and then we tested them in open water, and then we asked them again how good they thought they were. The study, especially with Māori and Pasifika adults, was studied too, and we found there that there were definitely gaps between perception of what people thought they could do and the reality of what they could actually do. Some of the results there, we found 3/4 of Māori and Pasifika adults thought they could swim well, but 3/4 couldn't swim 25 metres, and that's the length of a normal pool. So we have to ask ourselves, well, if I can't swim 25 metres in a pool, how far am I going to be able to swim in a cold lake or a sea? And would that be good enough to keep myself safe if I fell out of the boat in the Manukau Bar or off the rocks at the West Coast? And if not, then how am I going to keep myself safe?
Now, Teresa, this is the second of 4 studies that you are undertaking around the high risk of drowning. What do your other studies look at?
So the first study asked parents how good they thought they were and how safe they thought they and their children were in open water. And study 2 and 3 investigated high risk groups of drowning, that second one being Māori and Pasifika, the third one being older adults, because that's a new growing risk in our drowning stats as well. The last one, as I mentioned earlier, we asked similar question about how good they thought they were, but we tested them in the pool and then in the open water. And we found some quite concerning results, really.
Can you share some of those?
Sure. In the pretest, most participants thought their competence, or they thought they were pretty good. And in the post-test, it was even more so. So we found that there really was a gap between that real competence and how good they thought they were. And for example, in swimming, just under 1/4 of adults at the beginning thought they could swim 200 metres in 5 minutes. In a pool, 6% could do that. In the open water, one participant could do that. At the end of the testing, more than a quarter of the participants still thought they could swim 200 metres in 5 minutes. For floating, the same thing. Participants thought they were better floaters at the end of the testing, despite a quarter not even being able to float for 15 seconds, in a pool. So, you know, it really threw up some of these gaps between what we could actually do, what we could do in a pool, what we could do in a water, in the open water, and how good we really thought we were.
With the adults, what was the age range you were looking at or testing, please, Teresa?
That last study, we had adults of all ages from early 20s through to, I think, 65 was our eldest.
And in terms of the competency, was it the older or the younger ones that actually were more competent?
Look, to tell you the truth, we didn't get that. I think it was pretty evenly spread. Some were better swimmers, some were better floaters, some were better at entering the water, and others were better at exiting the water, you know, like getting yourself clambering up onto a safe place if you had to.
In terms of the perception, did you, you know, do like a deep dive in terms of, you know, where that sort of confidence came from, and then, you know, the comparison with the reality? Is it just males in general have this sort of, you know, a bullish confidence that, you know, hey, of course I'm a great swimmer, only to learn the harsh reality in light of your research?
Yeah, it wasn't startling to find that males were in fact more likely to consider themselves better than what they were. Females did have a more realistic perception of you know, their competence.
Now, I think you mentioned one of the studies looked at Pasifika and Māori children. What was the research in that area, and was it like a similar test in terms of competence?
Oh, look, we didn't specifically ask about Māori and Pasifika children, but it definitely highlights the need for a little more research in that area.
Some of the solutions or recommendations, Teresa, you have in order to, you know, prevent drownings amongst, you know, our Pasifika and Māori communities?
Sure, I think, look, the problem isn't so much that people can't swim or float, but it's more that they're unable to swim or float as well as they thought they could, and especially as well as they thought they could in open water. So before we go out into the open water, go to a pool or a sheltered safe spot and test yourself. Check what you can do. Can you swim? Can you float? Can you dive under the water? Then think sensibly about what you might be able to do in other open water. So that's the first thing. The second point is that it's more than just about being able to swim. And the latest research tells us there's 15 water competencies we need to keep ourselves safe from drowning. And they are things like being able to safely enter the water, or being able to get out of the water into a safe place, or being able to submerge to go under a log or a rock or a boat, or being able to float in case we fall in the water unexpectedly, or being able to swim to a safe point. And it's also knowing the local risks and how to minimize those, and then finally instilling safe attitudes and behaviors around the water. So we need to understand that we need to be aware of and be competent in all those 15 water competencies to be safe. Then finally, it's thinking about all those 15 water competencies, but also about the activity and the environment that we're going in. So going for a swim in a warm, shallow lifeguarded pool is going to be a little bit different to going to a swim for a swim on our west coast, say Kareatahi or Bethels, even where there are lifeguards in summer, or O'Neill's where there aren't lifeguards, or doing something a little more dangerous like crossing the Manukau Bar in a small boat, or fishing off rocks, you know, on a large swell. So it's really thinking about your own competence or your own attributes and the activity you're doing and the environment that you're doing it in.
Is there work, much work being done, Teresa, with regards to water safety education, particularly targeted at Pasifika and Māori?
Yes, definitely. From DPA's perspective, we have a dedicated aquatic advisor working with Māori communities, Harry Aonga, and Clayton Wakera, who works with Māori communities. And both run presentations or workshops or in water that's either pool or open water to suit specific groups. And they may have a focus on age, such as the YWISE program that targets youth, or activity-based programs such as rock fishing, kamoana gathering, or waka safety. So we do have quite a lot going on. We've also established life jacket hubs around Auckland, so people can borrow a life jacket to keep themselves safe when they're out in the water. One is at the Manukau Cruising Club. There's another at Coast Guard in Papakura. And there are others listed on our website as well. We've also developed some e-learning modules, especially around some of these topics, and they can be checked out on our website at www.dpanz.org.nz.
Great. And Teresa... So,
but if,
yes, you go.
I was just going to say, if any of your listeners or a part of a group would like some advice, just contact us and we'd be happy to set something up.
Great. Now, what about with regards to your research? Where can people access that, please, Teresa?
Well, I'm still waiting for a link for my whole thesis, but I'm happy to share that when it comes through. But I can send through links for some of the earlier studies.
That would be greatly appreciated. And then we'll update our live stream with you. That's fine. Well, with that, a very big thank you, Teresa Stanley, Research and Development, Drowning Prevention Auckland. Been great talking with you this afternoon, Teresa, and wish you all the very best and a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.